All right. We're back with more interviews. But before we get there, let's talk about some other stuff.
I bet we're going to talk about motorcycles.
We might. You know, we later today, we're mounting a motor into a motorcycle in the shop.
The one that's just like in the shop.
Yeah, we have a bike in the shop right now.
Roller in the shop.
Yeah. And we're going to put in the 98 1200 motor into it. I painted the tank yesterday.
Really good job.
Nailed it.
Too. Yeah.
Nailed
I don't
it.
Know if you feel like you want to bring that up, but man, what a great job painting
I
that
did
tank.
A shockingly good job on that. We're going to finish the paint today, with which is a little bit more stressful because I don't know that I'm going to do as good of a job. But we'll find out, because now we actually have to do detail stuff.
Yeah, well, we've got the stencils being made.
Yeah. Ooh, we have other stencils sitting around this. We should look at those for the middle part.
That's true.
See if any of those fucking work. Yeah. That could be cool. We got that fucking deadhead Harley one.
Seems apt.
Oh, yeah, let's look at that when we're done. yeah, we're doing that. And
I think it's better than the Mountain Dew stickers.
Okay, yeah, nobody fucking liked that idea. Wanted to put Mountain Dew stickers on the side of each side of the tank. And like 10 people were just went, ha-ha, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, all right.
And I also found these like old 60s hippie like feet, like bottom of feet stickers that are these horrible like purple color.
Did many people like those too?
I only sent them to you and you basically did not respond directly on that. I was like, what if there's just a bunch of feet all over the tank?
So I was like, well, why not get some advertising on that?
Why not, bike why anyway? Not make it good?
Yeah, and so we're going to make LFDW stencils.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice almost white over this kind of like a... The color's like sunflower burst or whatever, but it's like a cream.
Yeah.
And then over that,
I like
it's an ivory that we're painting the LFDW on, so it's going to be like a little bit off, but not super off. It'll be pretty. I post all this to the Instagram story, so you know, check that out.
And oddly enough, that bike, I'm guessing, will, in fact, as I stated half jokingly, half in desperation, be running before my bike.
Yeah.
It seems.
Yeah, it probably will. Because the motor's going in, the carb's going on, and then once the battery shows up, it's going to get wired, the pipes are coming.
You know?
And that's all she wrote on that one, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Fucking hopefully. Because, you know, stuff can still go wrong.
Yeah, of course.
But
I got a good feeling about that one.
I got faith in the motor. It's a very clean motor.
Yeah. I think it's going to be good.
You just got to wire it all up.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. But if you like motorcycles...
And you might.
And you want one for $27. We have a raffle going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we're really high energy on this intro. We got a raffle going on right now.
Yes.
For a 1989 Springer Softail.
It's a
very
bike.
Nice bike.
It's a very pretty bike.
You can see it on our site. You can see it on our Instagram. It's got a great looking flame paint job on it. It has that stock Harley Springer, which, as you might know, are the best Springers in existence.
I'm sure they know that.
They are. There's $27 tickets on it. Also, if you spend over $45 on our site, you can automatically get a ticket as well. The other thing with that...
It's a good deal.
Yeah, is there's like price discounts, basically.
Okay.
For, you know, you buy two tickets, it's whatever off, three tickets, and you can get like five tickets at like 25% off the whole. Get yourself a good chance in there. Very nice bike. There's less than 700 miles on the rebuild, so that's
ooh,
neat.
Ooh.
But if you want to see all the information on it, it's on the homepage of our site. Check that out. Get yourself a ticket. The raffle ends on August 10th, or if we sell out sooner. But
and we might.
We might. We're doing pretty good on them.
I'd get one, but I'm not allowed.
He is not allowed. He kind of said it, and I was like, nah, you definitely can't. And my dad was like, should I enter it? And I was like, no. You don't work for the company, but that's still sketchy. yeah. So
optics.
Yeah. You know. So hopefully someone that lives within distance to come pick it up. I saw a bunch of people from Cincinnati enter it, but I also saw people from Germany enter it. And I'm really hoping the Cincinnati people win.
That's fair.
But anyway, that's a very cool thing we got going on. What else we got?
Well, I'm...
Hannah just finished the issue 8 of the magazine. So that'll be coming up again soon.
It looks great.
Yeah, that's a... I'm excited about it. I'm always excited about it. She does a very good job on them. It's weird that we're on 8.
It is weird.
They seem to come up really fast now.
Yeah, and I think it's because I work on them, but also they just the space on my bookshelf keeps filling up, and I'm like, holy shit, there's another one.
Yeah.
And people should subscribe to that. It's a fine magazine.
Great magazine.
A lot of hungry young artists working on that.
Let my wife keep her job. let's see, what else do we have? We don't write anything down. I don't know.
Can I see if you want to buy my bike on the podcast?
Hey, anyone want to buy a bike that kind of runs?
It's a bike that kind of runs by a sad man.
Yeah, it turns on and it will idle. But, you know, if anyone wants to give him a bike,
yeah,
I'm kind of doing that a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I've got good bike karma, I guess. I'm well taken care of.
You have bad bike karma, and I'm hoping it doesn't rub off on this bike.
Shit, that's an awful way of looking at my bike.
But yeah, he's, you know, anyway. If anyone wants to gift Eli a bike who's not me, you know, let us know.
I wouldn't say no.
Other than that, this episode.
And speaking of bikes,
yeah,
we got a one for you. Yeah. Street Bike Tommy.
Street Bike Tommy, who, if you are between the ages of about 25 and 40, you've seen Nitro Circus on MTV. He was on Nitro Circus. He was also in Jackass 3D. Yeah. He's a stuntman. Is that the way to describe it?
I'd call him a stuntman.
A stuntman.
Yeah.
In this episode, we talk about basically how Nitro Circus came to be. We talk about some of the stunts. We get into being on set in Jackass and what that's like, and how he handled the constant pressure of being punked.
I think that was interesting. You could tell there was some regret there, where he was just like, I'm not falling for that, guys. I'm not falling for that, guys.
Don't wreck it.
Well,
it's but, you know, I enjoyed this episode a lot because it was one of those things of I grew up watching him and MTV in general. And the first, I mentioned this in the episode, like the first second he popped up on the video call, I was like, holy shit, it's that guy.
He's from my childhood.
Yeah, you know, I recovered really quickly.
Professional.
It was half a second where I was just like, oh, this is real.
I could tell a couple times.
Could you?
Yeah. But they were like subtle things that a friend would pick up on, not like you were giving away that you know. Very good.
I was being a little bitch about it. No. I like this one. I had a really good time on this episode.
Awesome. What a personable guy.
Yeah, and he also enjoys rabbit holes of like stuff like the Manson thing.
Yeah.
He's listened to those episodes that we put out, which made me really happy.
We talked to him after we stopped recording.
Yeah,
it was fun.
We got a little bit more into it. He also offered to come back and talk about conspiracy theories. So there's a pretty good chance we'll have...
Yeah, like, Street Bike Tommy might come back.
Street Bike Tommy conspiracy theory episodes. That makes me happy. That's fun.
Yeah.
Also, just for anyone, we never said the guy's last name, but we said Travis about 25 fucking times.
Oh, yeah, you should.
Travis is Travis Pastrana, who's the guy, like the Johnny Knoxville of Nitro Circus.
Okay,
so there we go. There's some context for who Travis is.
Nice.
But other than that, I like this episode. We had fun. Enjoy it.
Enjoy. I'm your black cat, baby. Your bad luck creeping around the bend.
Yeah, so pretty much I was at Travis Pastrana's Pastrana Land about 30 minutes before talking to you guys. And we got the first shipment of parts for the second largest wind tunnel in the world. And when I say wind tunnel, I mean indoor skydiving, but this particular one's outdoor. So it's an exposed wind column. But it's the second largest in diameter, second to Abu Dhabi, which is an enclosed tube.
So can you like fly out of this in theory?
Yeah, so it's a moving column of air.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if the wind kicks up, you can so let's just say, for instance, you're flying about 60 feet off the net, sure. and a giant gust of wind kicks up, that column of air then disappears and you fall, which you want to stay above the fans, because when you get down there, you'll at least catch that last little, yeah, but like you, the fun part about the outdoor ones is that you can jump in and out of them.
Have you done this before?
So there was one in North Carolina that we actually filmed an episode of Nitro Circus on the MTV show. If you look it up, I believe that was second season where we did that. And it was cool. Travis actually jumped into the column from about 80 or 90 feet, which is sketchy because, like, once it's like up that high, it's doing this. So, right. Like, you're guessing where that wind is going to be.
Yeah, not me.
Sick. You guys were one of the shows. I'm 28. Or, no, I'm 29. Yeah. I just turned 9.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you. It was 2.5 months ago, so it's not just.
Okay. Okay.
I just don't want to admit that I'm almost 30.
Yeah.
But you 40, guys were one
41.
Of the shows. Yeah, you know. When I was growing up, it was like you guys, Jackass, the variations of it, and fucking Robin Big and all that shit.
Dudesons and all those guys, yeah.
Yeah, that was like my education on what adults were.
I'm sorry, man. It's very disappointing. Like, when you expect that and you get real life, it's unfortunate.
But here's the thing, like, I don't think I ended up getting real life because I grew up seeing all you guys do that weird shit and being like, you can be an adult and do stuff that I think is fun right now and make fucking money at it.
Like, right. Yeah.
You can be a weird adult.
Pretty cool. And
make money, you know? So
you're building a motorcycle in like
five feet away from us in our store.
That's cool.
But, you know, like, so for me, you know, when I talked to a lot of people, I didn't know who they were when I was a child, you know, but like I've seen you do insane shit since I was like 10 years old.
It's catching up to me now, boy.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
But it's neat for me. So I just want to say I appreciate
that. I appreciate that big time, man. Yeah.
You know, also like you know how it says, don't try this at home?
Yeah.
And that's legal jargon.
Right. Disclaimer.
We try so much shit at home.
Well, that's pretty much the business model, man, is that we do stuff that pretty much everybody would do and is doing at some scale or another where we identify with people. You know what I mean? Because, like, everybody in the industry, like you touch a motorcycle, right? And like you get on a dirt bike and sure you're out on like a dirt bike and you're riding around for a weekend or whatever. But it's funny to sit and think on one to know that somebody has done 3 backflip rotations on it. And you're like, this thing's heavy as shit and like very dangerous. I don't understand how that works.
No, like it's,
and then like you show us.
Yeah. And then you do it.
Yeah.
You know, I have a thing in my brain where there's a certain line where I'm like, that's not a good idea and I won't do it, but it doesn't seem like, how do you shut that off?
it's kind of
weird. I had to put my phone on silent. Phone's getting blown up. No, man, we're good. I don't want to interrupt. So like turning your brain off, it's a skill, because I'm a little different because I don't know what the other guys were like. I never really talked to them about it. because like they're good at stuff. Like they sign up and they design a stunt and they want to do it. They're like, I think that this is going to be successful. The majority of time, I mean, like 90% of the stunts that I did, I was shown them right before we had to do them. And like, I didn't know how to do any of them. I just was trying to mitigate the injuries that I was going to get from them. You know, I was like, this looks rad. I'm gonna get messed up, but I'm going to try to get up as messed up as little as possible, you know? And a lot of the times, like, especially during the TV show and pace of filming that we had to do because of budget and production and stuff, the majority of the times we actually had broken bones and, you know, these pretty severe injuries during these stunts. So like I would be deciding as I go off stuff, I'm like, you know, my leg's kind of messed up right now, so I'm going to land on my shoulder and sacrifice it, you know? And it was a really weird place to be, but the mindset that kept me going was that I'm a drywall contractor, you know, second generation, been in it since I was a little kid. I've been on job sites since I was 7 years old, like separating fasteners, sweeping floors, you know, as a child, on job sites to, you know, I've never not had, a carpentry gig of some sort. Because like filming and stuff, it was great when it was happening, but in between there was these huge gaps of time where everybody thinks that you're like this crazy millionaire and making all this money, and they pay you once, it's done. And like, you don't get residual money unless you're doing like SAG work. So it's like Screen Actors Guild.
So you guys you didn't get a check every time the show aired?
No, I got a check when we were done filming a particular episode, and I got paid per episode, and then that was it. And then, you'll see. Yeah. So you'll see the movie and stuff play on different streaming services. Like, I saw the 3D film hit Netflix and stuff, and I didn't see any money from that. You know, there's not the same money in action sports and stuff like that as there is in, like, say, Jackass. Like, Jackass, we were produced by Jackass, but you know, we weren't Jackass. Like, Jackass, they were doing $1 billion box office films, and that's where you get your mailbox money. And like, I did Jackass 3D, and I still get checks from that, but they're not big because I was in it for I want to say a total of like 15 seconds, and I've probably made 40K from it.
That doesn't suck. That's not
like
bad.
Overall, yeah. Since Jackass 3 came out, it's been in that neighborhood for total brought in. But like, as far as everything that we've done, nothing was union. And I've always kept I've maintained a commercial job, that I'll jump in, jump out, and do carpentry, drywall, really anything. And recently I've been doing liquor sales, which I'm extremely good at. And I think I'm going to stay in the industry because I'm extremely good at it.
It doesn't sound like you're going to hurt yourself doing that either.
No, and it beats the fuck out of swinging a hammer. I'll tell you that much, man.
Just wear and tear.
Yeah, I currently have a lot of issues in my neck and spine that I'm at super high risk of paralysis because of the amount that I've done to myself. But it's painful every day, but you know, it's taken me around the world 4 or 5 times and at a young age, and I got to do it with some really, really rad friends of mine and really enjoy, because that's what life's all about, man, is not only doing as much as possible, but doing it with the people that you care about, you know.
How did Nitro Circus originate? Like, where did it go from, like, hey, how'd you get on TV, you know?
Well,
how does that come up?
So it's funny because, like, you know how you said you watched, you know, Jackass and Us growing up? That's really, like, I was at the prime age when Jackass came out, and it was the first time that somebody made money off of just being stupid. Like, there was no internet. You know, you bought these DVDs at Best Buy. There was a whole you know, that's what the entire store was just rows and rows of music and DVDs.
Oh yeah.
And you know, you'd wait for the new release to come out and we would go get these DVDs and we'd play them. I was, you know, in my late teens and then early 20s is when I met Travis because of my desire to be and like meet Jackass. I was like, I want to meet these dudes. Yeah. I feel like we're gonna hit it off, bro. So I was a local guy, drywall hanger from Shadyside, Maryland, where I grew up, and I had a street bike and just locally known. Like I had, no joke, this is no exaggeration, I had like 30,000 friends on MySpace. I was not street bike Tommy. That all happened from the accident.
Okay.
I actually got that name from the secretary at Godfrey Entertainment because I randomly called once Greg Godfrey, the original producer of Nitro Circus, gave me his business card and he said, call him if he wanted to do anything else, you know, like, cause I got this clip that, you know, I could either be the guy that people buy me drinks cause I'm the guy that did that thing that time, or you can take the ball and run with it. Here's my card. And I was all like, oh my God, a big producer gave me his card.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's this dude in Utah that's, you know, Mormon and makes DVDs and not like whatever. But so I felt important. I called, but the secretary picked up and I didn't know. I thought it was just going to be Greg. And right. The secretary was like, Godfrey Entertainment, how may I help you? And I was like, is Godfrey there? And she was like, yes, who can I say is calling? And I was like, the guy from the last movie on the street bike. I flipped the street bike, the Tommy, because like it said Tommy on the screen.
Right.
It said, you know, Puma Pastrana Land Champ Tommy. And it showed me Crash. And I was like, I'm the Tommy guy, you know, with the street bike Tommy, the guy with the street bike. And I said it without even realizing it.
Right.
And she said, thank you, please hold. And like, no joke, I swear to God, like every bit of 10 minutes went by. And when he finally picked up, he was like, so you got a nickname now? And I was all like, I don't know what. And he was like, Street Bike Tommy, I like it. It's got a nice ring to it. And,
right.
You know, he just, he fully like, nah, see, we can make a lot of money with this. Yeah, I like it. It's got a nice ring. So that's how it happened in my head anyway. But,
absolutely.
That's how the name happened. But early on, man, I was just locally well known.
Okay.
from being like just a shithead, you know. Never hurt anybody, but everybody liked me because I would do funny, outlandish stuff that just, you know, I was always like class clown style, but you know, right. Everybody liked me because I never hurt anybody. So
yeah, that's
true. Yeah. It's how I met Travis.
So
my name came up.
You met Travis through the producer or beforehand?
No. So I met Travis through friends. So I met the producer actually at the premiere in Annapolis, Maryland. Travis rented a screen to play the DVD before it got released. So I was like, I'm a movie star. I'm on a movie screen. One screen that was rented.
That's how it starts.
Yeah, right. Ty knew I wanted to be a show pony the rest of my life, though.
Yeah.
I had met Travis because I had met his roommate, who Jim DeChamp, one of the original cast members from the TV show, the guy that did the one-handed claps.
Yeah.
Like mountain bike Jim.
doesn't have the same
no.
Street bike Tom.
Well, he just goes by Jim Champ. But if you saw the 3D movie, he was the one where we barrel rolled a Fox Body Mustang and the cage collapsed and he got severely injured and he hasn't done stunts since.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so he had a brain bleed that like was and broke his back, like tons of stuff. And we both broke our helmets, but I'm a bit shorter than he is, and he definitely got it way worse than I did. But I'm bouncing all over the place. So I met Travis through Jim, who at the time was his roommate. Okay. Jim is Travis's most longtime friend. And at the time, like, Travis didn't have a lot of friends. Like, he was homeschooled. He was you were homeschooled?
Yeah.
Damn it. Well, that's why you guys probably got some pretty cool views. I was listening to the shows, and you guys go down rabbit holes like I do, and I was really entertained with your episode so far.
With rabbit holes. Yeah.
Dude, I'm a rabbit hole guy. I don't trust none of this stuff.
We're really stuck on the Manson shit right now. Real stuff.
Yeah. I was listening to that, and that's one of those stories that I've been interested in over time. Especially with the MK Ultra stuff that you were talking about and stuff like that.
And fucking Scientology? Yeah, I didn't know.
Oh, that dude.
The angle. That's new to me.
Yeah. It's crazy. Dude, I didn't know that any of that part.
I was just like, oh, I'll learn about some cult that was around at the same time. And then it was just like, yeah. Holy fuck. Really all very connected.
Yeah. I feel like I'm paying a compliment that just took me on a whole little side quest.
Thank you.
But I don't want to derail too much.
It doesn't matter.
I promise.
That's probably fun, man. If you listen to the end of our episodes, halftime it's me being like, I don't know how to fucking end this.
How do we end it?
And then
because podcasts are pretty funny, man. It's just long conversations. And I feel like they go all over the place, which I dig. I like doing podcasts, especially with people that talk about interesting things that are like this, instead of like, how many bones have you broke?
I mean, that, you know, I wasn't going to ask it quite like that.
I figured it would come up.
You know, I figured it would come up.
So when you're talking about injury as a byproduct of what you're doing, it's different. Especially with people that have like a genuine interest in what you've done and kind of have seen your body of work versus, you know, if I'm doing, let's just say like an NBC spot where, you know, a host has no idea what I've done or who I am or anything about me. They hear action sports, Daredevil, that kind of stuff. And they're like, so you probably broke a lot of bones. And it's like, I didn't get in it to break bones. Like I never wanted to do that. That was an accident.
The person.
Right.
Yeah. Like for me, Chris lays in, you know, like one of the big benefits I have of this company and my platform now is that I'm able to talk to people that interest me. Right.
Yeah.
So I can actually go into the shit and like, you know, I mean,
have something to talk about.
Yeah, and I constantly listen to like backstories of how things got put together. Every book I listen to is like, how did this movie get made? You know?
Right. I love documentaries and just how things work.
Yeah, so like it fascinates me at this point to be like, hey, that show that I've known about since I was, you know, 10, how did it, like, because I just turned the TV on and it was there. You know, MTV at that time was like, oh, awesome shit for you. And I went, cool.
Yeah. That's what I miss, man. God, the streaming shit is so bad these days. So two things that I love that things are like, I love technology and I love how things progress, but I feel bad for the current generation because they get things so fast and like, they don't get invested in anything like we used to, where you were presented things where this is just like, oh, I'm constantly scrolling. And when I say two things, I think OnlyFans has ruined strip clubs completely. Like, I swear to God, dude. Like, OnlyFans has – I remember when I first go into a strip club when I was, like, 18, and I was super pumped. I was like, this is amazing. I get to go to a strip club. And, you know, I go into a strip club in Baltimore, and I remember seeing the most beautiful women that I've ever seen in my life. And now I feel like when I tip girls, I'm just like, here's some money because thanks for being brave. Like, I appreciate you showing me that. Because, like, the super hot chicks just are gone now because OnlyFans screwed it up.
Thanks for being brave. It's fucking hilarious.
Well, you know, I appreciate you showing me that. You know, it takes – I wouldn't get up there with that. You know what I mean? That's why I'm not into like adult films and stuff, because I don't feel like I'm anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, you know, if I was like ripped and had like a foot and a half hog, like I'd be doing adult films, like I wouldn't give a shit.
The
But
rest of
you
us.
know, yeah, but I don't have that set of skills, so I don't do it. So like, you know, I just feel like OnlyFans has ruined strip clubs, and it's the same with like content, man. There's just like, there's no real great shows out anymore, because people are just slapping stuff together and like they're revisiting what was already made, you know. I don't
That's
know. I miss
it.
Blockbusters and stuff like that.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, how much I miss old video stores and going in and be like, oh, Tommy's working. Tommy knows great what I like. And he's like, yeah, you
That was
still
the
have Chris,
best.
I'll do this. And you're like, what should I watch now? It, you know, it's I miss that too.
Oh, you know, like
You work for stuff.
when I my first memory of stand-up comedy, right? I was like 11 years old and I went to
Oh
Blockbuster.
shit.
Yeah, me and my dad went to a Blockbuster and we got my cousin Vinny because he
I
forgot how much.
love my cousin Vinny.
It's incredible, but they say fuck constantly. And we got Jim Gaffigan's King Baby. And I didn't know what stand-up comedy was. And I didn't want to watch it. Like, it's a guy talking on stage. And I was like, that sounds
That's
horrible.
boring, man.
Oh,
I
so
watched
boring.
it. I was like, oh my God, we have to go back to Blockbuster. Is
There's
there
more.
other this stuff? You know?
Dude.
But the other thing
And
is,
then you
like,
go down the rabbit hole of Richard Pryor and, you know, Eddie Murphy and all those guys, man. What a time.
or you can go like VH1 and MTV are
Oh,
responsible
yeah.
for education. Like, for some reason, I really vividly remember the first time I saw the video for Sammy Hagar's I Can't Drive 55.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
And
yeah, dude.
just being like, that's fucking awesome. Because I was like sick, or maybe. I don't know if I really was, but I wasn't at school just watching fucking MTV or VH1 countdowns all day, you
It
know?
was
And like,
for me, it was ZZ Top.
yeah, dude, same shit. She's got legs. I was just thinking about watching that video the first time. It was like, this
Fuzzy
is a.
guitars.
You
I was
used to
so
be able to
confused.
like turn the fucking TV on and not know what was gonna come, you know? And then it would show up. And like, that was the beautiful thing about that era is that
Oh, yeah.
if I was a teenager or slightly before, I could turn on MTV and it would be like Robin Big, You Guys, Jackass, Wild Boy. And I was just fucking hot. Watching people jump off shit and fall onto, didn't you like miss a foam pit and fall on a very, very hard concrete or construction machine?
Oh, that looked painful.
So,
Yeah, you watched.
I got confused. So there's two guys, myself and there's a guy that hit the skid steer.
Okay.
So the guy that hit the skid steer was actually after me. And funny enough, he was just a guy that was there helping a professional street bike rider, funny enough, Dan Jackson. He got invited to Pastrana Land to kind of ride around, but his stuff didn't really go anywhere because there's not a lot you can do at Pastrana Land on a street bike. But his buddy, as they were packing up, because they were there for the weekend, and as they were packing up, his buddy was like, "Hey man, now that we're done filming and stuff, do you mind if I try to learn how to do a backflip in the foam pit?" And like, that's not that that happens so, almost daily, where somebody jumps on a 110, little dirt bike, and you know, we'll try to do a backflip into the big foam pit. What was great was, and what gave that guy legs as far as content was that it was filmed by Dan Jackson, who had a PD150 camera, which you know, professional grade at the time, with a huge fisheye, because the fisheye made it look huge, and the angle that he came at camera and then away from camera, and that you can see his impact. That's why his name's Ben Solomon.
It looked horrible.
It was horrible, but he actually got off pretty well for like what that was. He broke his femur and lacerated his chin.
Got off pretty good.
Got off
Heard
pretty good.
that.
A rod in the leg and you know, a couple stitches, considering that, like, you know, he did go about roughly 30 feet in distance. But where I get confused for that guy, everybody says, don't go right. And I'm like, I'm not the guy that went right. I went too far. So what I did was I went directly straight, but I went completely over the pit, and that's an 80-foot foam pit to give it scale. It's funny. I didn't even know Travis at that point in time. No idea. Like, I had shook his hand, and that was it. I had introduced myself. He had no idea who I was. I got the invite from Jim DeChamp, from what I was saying. He was at a party that I was at, and he showed the party a DVD of, like, the rough, unedited version of Nitro Circus as they were making it. And, like, he showed it to a party of my friends, and my friends were like, oh, my God, Jim DeChamp's so cool. And I was like, I'm way cooler than that guy. But, like, I was like, nice to meet you. You know what I mean? We're friends now. But, like, at the time, I was, like, you know, kind of alpha of the group and, you know, who the fuck's this guy think he is? Impressing my friends. But that's how I got invited, because when everybody turned at the party and was like, what do you think, Tommy? Because, like, I would film myself doing wheelies and running from cops and stuff like that locally. Like, and, you know, everybody knew that, like, I'm the guy of the group that, like, wants to do that stuff. And when everybody turned and looked at me, I was like, I mean, that's cool, but it's just like a video of everybody doing backflips. Like, I don't, you know, I figured with your high level of income and, like, resources, like, this is really what I said. And he, like, kind of took, I could tell that he took slight offense to it, but didn't get, like, mad about it. And he was like, well, you think you can do better, man? We're getting ready to do a film, like a content push. We're filming for a couple of days at Pastrana Land. If you want to come by, you think you can do better? And I was like, I mean, I'm not a professional dirt bike rider. I don't know what you're going to want me to do. He was like, dude, it doesn't matter. Like, the contest, because they were having a footage contest. Who comes back with the best footage? Like, they're going to go out in teams of four. And when you get back, you're going to show everybody your tapes and what you came up with. And they're going to decide, like, as a group. So, like, all of the teams are going to decide who won the two. There's a $2,000 pot. So, like, the winner gets $2,000. I was like, $2,000? Let's go.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah, so I ended up crashing my everyday driving car, which was a 1983 Lincoln Town Car, into a tree because I couldn't think of anything to do. And then I shot it. Then I had my buddy run over it with his truck. He had a lifted S10. And then I did this really, really long wheelie on my motorcycle running from cops. But I popped my valve or something like that, because the top of the motor gets starved of oil. I didn't know at the time when you're in a wheelie that long. And I threw a valve. It came down. It was, like, rattling. You can even hear it in the video if you listen.
Okay.
You can. It's like, you can hear that valve just bouncing around if you watch it again. And that's why I decided to jump my street bike in the foam pit, because I was like, well, it's trash now. Like,
okay.
You know? And then I jumped it over the foam pit, and I won that $2,000. I got life flighted out. When I went to collect my $2,000, I got it from Travis. He wasn't home, and I went directly to the liquor store and I bought a bottle of Louis XIII, which at the time I thought I was buying a $400 bottle of cognac, because I saw it on Tom Cruise's Cocktails, you know, the movie Cocktail.
Right.
And I wanted to know what a $400 bottle of cognac tasted like. And then, like, I called around and I found one at a liquor store and I put it on the counter and they were like, all right, that'll be $1,600. And I was like, and I had already put it on the counter and I was like, yeah, all right. Cool. You know, what cool you guy want? In it. But, like, I was like, gee.
Funny.
But, yeah, we ended up drinking that bottle of cognac at Jim's house at a house party, and the house couldn't have cost more than $100,000, and we were drinking out of Dixie cups.
So, nice.
100-year-old cognac out of Dixie cups.
Was it good?
Classy.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude, so I didn't think the flavor was good as in taste, but, like, you could – because I had drank before. Like, I was still not even 21 at this point. I I was like, wow, that's like very different. And like, you can taste like a ton of flavor. It doesn't taste good. It's not like, cherries.
It's way, it's quality.
Yeah. It, but you're like, this is horrible, but it's awesome. I don't get it, but I kind of get it.
Yeah, I had a couple of Don Julio 1942, and I hate
Okay.
tequila. Dude was like, try
Dude.
this, and I was like, okay, all right.
Bro. If you don't mind spending a little money, my favorite current tequila is Tears of Llorona. It's very small batch, hard to find, but unreal tequila.
See, it's a. I still didn't love it, but it was.
I
I
mean,
didn't like.
yeah, I get it.
But I was like, oh, it doesn't taste like pepper,
Yeah.
like the college tequila I'm used to, you know?
Yeah, I love tequila. It's so good.
It doesn't. I don't
Yeah.
know. But I. What was it like being on the set of a Jackass movie after having
Dream
an album?
come true, bro. Dream come true. Like that was one of the pinnacle mo like still to this day, one of my prized possessions is the I got the Jackass Varsity sweater. It says Street Bike Tommy on my chest, and it has the varsity patch, and you know, it was tailored to me, man. It was that's but like being on set because I was in Florida with those guys for 2 weeks filming. And I don't know if you recall, but I was the guy that when Ryan Dunn was tarred and feathered, you know, and then we did the duck hunt skit where he was, I was the guy with Preston blobbing Ryan Dunn off the blob while they shot him with paintball. So, but we did a few things. I was sitting right there when Bam walked into that trailer with the false floor. That's where they were telling me, yeah, dude, they were telling everybody to change their clothes, and they're like, yeah, so that's like our green room basically. If you need to change or put your bathing suit on or anything like that, just go in there. But like when I was there, I was like, I'm not going in there. Like, and I kind of effed my, so I kind of effed myself over. They were trying to put me in so many skits, but mistakenly, like I was like, they're not gonna get me, you know, and I cock blocked myself on footage because like I could have been in a lot of skits because they loved me and I love them. Like truly, like I'm such a huge fan of them, and they've been nothing but the best people to me. And like when you meet your heroes, they tell you never meet your heroes. When I met them, like truly, they were everything that I thought they would be and more. Like the nicest people. I still, you know, keep in contact with everybody, but like, so they had all these things set up on set, and I'm very attentive. So like when I saw this trailer with like all this plywood around the bottom of it, I was like, that's not right. So I never went in there. And then I find out that it had a false floor, and bam, you know, went into a snake pit. And then like, you
He
know,
just
so, and then what they would do is they'd sit you down and you'd do these interviews about like, you know, being, you know, in Jackass and kind of around. And like the whole bit was like, you know, they're trying to get you to talk about these like great wholesome memories and like reasons why you want to be part of everything. And like, you're happy to be there. But it's just a ploy to get you to be stationary so they can like punch you in the face with you know, a bucket of water first, and then, you know, get the you know, or what Knoxville was doing. He tried to get me, but I think that he didn't think about the runway leading up to me because I was in this big open area, and I was talking and doing an interview, and he was trying to sneak up behind me with a snapping turtle on a pole and like get the snapping turtle to bite me. But I heard him coming because there was like leaves on the ground, and I just kept hearing this like it sounded like somebody sneaking up on me. So I was like turned around, and like there he was. And I was like, well, come on, man. Like, I can't like just let you do it. It's not gonna be as funny.
Like,
I can't
first
just
of all,
let
my
you.
favorite Jackass shit is always like the fucking like the soup bit with the big high five hand.
Oh
Like,
yeah,
why
bro.
was he carrying soup, or the fucking punch through the
Dude, the
hotel
airbag
door?
doorbell.
Yeah, dude, all that. We're fucking just riding a bike into like that fucking Wile E. Coyote ass painting.
So, still to this day, and this is gonna sound like so fucking stupid, but my favorite thing that Jackass ever did was the advertisement. And like, this is how I knew. I was like, oh my god, this is like a real thing I can do as a job. And like, this is like the very first thing that I ever saw from Jackass was a advertisement, like a preview in between like music videos, and it just went. And it was a close up on the spring doorstop, and somebody just grabbed it and like bent it and then like let it go, and it was like, and then it went Jackass, and that was it. And I was like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened, because I knew from that, just that alone, what was, because like this was like right around the time of like Andy Milonakis. You know, you had Tom Green, right. And you had this like really off color stuff that people just didn't understand, but like the youth was like, that's funny.
Yeah.
So like as soon as I saw that door stopper just go, and it occupied almost a full minute of MTV's like content, I was like, that's amazing. Like, that's, to me, that's art.
Yeah.
You know, God, it was, what a time to be alive.
Is it like, were you stressed constantly on that set? Because I feel like I would be.
I was, but I wish I wasn't. Like, I wish I would have went into it with a different mindset.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I would have been part. They were trying to get me in so many different bits, and I just cock blocked myself hard. Yeah. Because even when, you know, like weird stuff, like when they filled the elevator with like balloons, and then Party Boy jumps out and like kicks balloons everywhere, and like, you know, Party Boy dances on people. I don't have the best reactions with that kind of stuff, because if it's not scary for real, like, I'm not going to give you that. And like, we always did so much like actual for real, like, I thought I was going to die stuff that, right. Like, when I did get on set with, you know, Jackass, I was like, and I don't want to be disrespectful and say like it's not really that big a deal, but like as far as scale of like stunts and actually being afraid of things, you know, that's where Jackass I feel like is so much better than Nitro Circus, is that it's how they do things, you know what I mean? It's like it's got character, and it's got so much more to it than just like, oh, I'm gonna huck my meat. You know, because there's no, like, there's seriously, like, there's no stunt that Jackass has ever done stunt wise where I'd be like, yeah, I wouldn't do that. Like I would do all of the things that Jackass would do. It's just those guys, they have personalities, and they were allowed to like, let them show, and they were allowed to be themselves, where, you know, we were produced by Mormons. And they really had like a whole vision of like how they wanted things to be in clean cut. And I was like, I'm not that. Like, I was way more Jackass than I was Nitro Circus.
Well, it seemed like a lot of friends. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Well, it just seemed like a lot of Jackass and Nitro Circus too, but more of that seemed like a lot of friends being creative together. And that, I think that's what you're talking about, really comes through watching it. It seems like a fun atmosphere, sort of like early Warner Brothers, where they were doing the cartoons for Bugs Bunny and shit. Yeah. Those guys were just having so much fun together,
and really, that's the thing. That's where I feel like we were shining when we were on MTV, because we were produced by Dick House once we hit MTV. Once totally we different. Left MTV, yeah, totally different. Because as soon as you'll notice, as soon as we left MTV and we did, you know, Crazy Train on NBC Sports, which you probably didn't even hear of, and then like, you know, the other Nitro Circus stuff that we did after MTV, even to this day, is extremely corny. Like, it's just corny. It's cool. Like, what's being done is like world records, and you have to respect like the things that everybody's doing, but the way it's captured and presented, it's corny. Like, it's not what, you know, Jeff Tremaine and Johnny Knoxville are able to show people like your personalities and stuff like that, because, you know, they don't want you to be yourself with like the Nitro side of things. Like, they want you to be a product, right, where, you know, they can interchange people cheaply, where, you know, Jackass, you are allowed to be yourself. They wanted those long-term characters. They wanted you to build a relationship with the audience, and, you know, they wanted, it's just, it's very different. Like Jackass, like Jeff always looked out for me. Any project that he's done over time, he's like gotten me in on, where Nitro Circus, dude, anything they can leave me off of, like they did, because like they wanted to have some cheap, you know, half-assed version of it, instead of, you know, paying you what you're worth. And like, you know, I'm difficult to work with, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a strong personality, because like, I know my worth, you know what I mean? And, you know, they'll bring these people on that are just, you know, these kids that see the name Nitro Circus and they go, yeah, I'll do that for that. Yeah. Yeah. And they're like doing it for right, next to nothing. And you know, they continue to have that product, but it's not, it was never the size of Jackass, because they would never really let us be ourselves. And like corporate greed has really gotten in the way of what we could be, you know. I haven't done anything with Nitro Circus in over 5 years, because I will not return that corporation's phone call. Like, they're just, to me, the corporation's trash.
Yeah. With like, I was like 14 years old and my mom ran a film festival, and it was at the premiere of the film festival. This is related, don't worry. It's not just a random.
Yeah.
And at the premiere of the film festival, right, it's like, it was a Jewish film festival, like a Holocaust movie. It ends, it's already a bummer. And I get a text right, from buddy, and it's like, Ryan Dunn died. And I was just standing there right after this fucking Holocaust movie. You know,
yeah, that was rough, man.
I had such a fucking, I didn't know the guy, right? I was 14 years old. I've had him for 5 years, maybe. You know, and I'm just sitting there at this fucking Holocaust movie, like post party, like basically
watching Schindler's List.
Yeah, dude, basically fucking crying about this guy I don't know.
Right.
But the thing with that is, like, it was a personality, right? I had seen so many shows of them, so many shows of him doing stuff where I was like, I fucking love that guy, right? Like, my Jackass guy, like him and Danger Aaron, you know, for some reason.
Dude, Danger Aaron's dope. He's such a nice guy, too. Like, I love him as a person. Yeah. Dude, so Dunn, it's funny you say that, because Ryan Dunn is literally who I championed. Like, from the DVDs, because me and all my friends, all we had was like the CKY DVDs and all that stuff. Like, once, and like, you know, we were huge fans of BAM because they were right in Pennsylvania, which is not too far from where we are.
I grew up in DC, so I was really close to all that.
Hell yeah. And he was always my favorite, because I was like, dude, this guy is cooler than anybody, and he's so underrated.
For sure.
Like, I'm like, dude, like, I think that Ryan Dunn is cooler than literally any other character on any of this shit. And then when I finally was able to meet Dunn on set, that's like one of my cherished memories, is the 2 weeks that I finally got to meet Dunn in person. And, dude, we went out like almost every night to like the local bars in Florida where we were, and we were cutting it up, and he was such a good guy to everybody, and just such like, that's one of those things where it was like such a meaningful, like, connection, because I truly like, I was like, this is the guy, like, that's who I want to be like, that's like, that's kind of who I was like modeling what I was doing after, was the guy that would just do the stuff that nobody wanted to do,
right?
You know, or think of things that nobody had ever done or would want to do.
Dude, and that fucking part in his ass with the condom, and then just the straight face at the doctor, like this fucking European guy's like, you have a car in your asshole, basically, and he's like, dude, what do you, I don't remember this night.
one of my favorite things wasn't even from Jackass. Brian Dunn in a CK, I forget which one, I think it was CKY2K, but I'm not positive on that. But my favorite thing that he ever did, you could tell that him and Bam were sitting at an outdoor, like patio, like it was like a restaurant, and they're just, you could tell they had been enjoying drinks and cutting it up and like laughing for like quite some time. And like you could tell that somebody had the idea to tell Dunn to do this thing, and they're like goading him into it, and they're goading him into it, and they're trying to get him to go to do this thing. And you're like, what the hell are they like giggling and laughing? What won't he do? Like, this is Ryan Dunn. Like, what? And then out of nowhere, he like looks over and like you see him jump up, and he purposely gets hit by a car. And then like, dude, I'm like, holy shit, they talked this dude into like getting smoking himself into like a stranger who was driving, because it was right on the road, and they're at a patio seating, and he like looked and he saw a car coming, and he just jumped up and like literally jumped into this person's windshield and just smoked this person's windshield. And this person thought they hit someone for real. Like, they were like, oh my God, I just hit somebody. And it was like on purpose, and you could tell they were hammered. Like, dude, it was my favorite thing that he had ever done.
I love
I loved
talking
everything.
like a dude like in memoriam and being like, God, I loved when he got himself hit by a car and put a car up his
It
asshole
was so good,
and like
dude. So Dunn was the greatest, man. Like, literally the greatest.
yeah, that one hit me really hard, and sorry,
Yeah.
I don't know why, like just something about that era of TV and entertainment, right? Because like even like when Big Black died, it hit me too. I
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
fuck that guy, you know what I mean? But I'd
Yeah.
seen him so long and he seemed like a great guy,
Yeah, and you develop those relationships whether they know it or not.
Right. And like that happens to me now where people will like come up to me if we're at a place and be like, oh, you're the guy from that thing that I like, right? And
Right.
it's fucking
Yeah.
weird because they know who
It's
you
cool.
are.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like I like it, but at the same time, it's like, oh,
Yeah.
but I gotta be the character of the guy you think I am now, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah. No, I love that, dude. That's the best part and the reason why I got into it, because like I really enjoy people in general. And it's a little weird for me at times because like I never made that crazy high level of income, but like, a lot of people know who I am. And like especially in my demographic. So like I'm a builder by trade, and here I am going in and out of like Home Depots and stuff, and I'm like signing people's drywall that they're buying and like 2x4s and shit.
Oh,
Because like, yeah, dude, it's funny because like they'll recognize me and I'm covered in drywall dust and like, sawdust and who the fuck knows what. And
that's
I'm just like, yeah, I'm no different than them. Like zero. Like I'm in Home Depot working and buying materials just like you are. Zero difference. And they're like, oh my God. And like, it's this whole thing. So like I love
I
that
love
part of things.
that. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's interesting to have that like one side relationship because it does become important to people, obviously, right? Like,
Yeah.
especially if you were a kid when it happened, right? Like the first half second that you
Yeah.
came on the screen, I was like, wait, that's the guy I've seen forever,
Right.
you know? Hang on. You know?
Yeah.
But and Johnny Knoxville followed my company, and for a
I love that.
year, for a fucking year, I was too scared to like message him or anything because I was like
Yeah.
12 old again, right?
Yeah.
And finally, like, I just started talking to him about like Chris Ledoux, you know, because I posted something and he was like, I don't get Chris Ledoux. And I was like, what do you listen
What an
to?
opener.
You know, I was like, tell me more. And he wrote like this fucking two paragraph response about 70s country music. And I just fucking stared at it and stared at his name and stared at it and stared at his name. And I was like, that's Johnny fucking Knoxville.
He's such a good dude, man.
It
Like
seems
he,
like it. Yeah.
yeah, salt of the earth. Like that guy. Oh my God.
But that's what I
That.
like about that whole era of MTV is that I don't know if it's true, but at least in my head, it seems like everyone involved in it was like a normal person.
Yeah, no
You
doubt.
know?
You know what's super funny? You know what took our time slot now that I'm talking about it? Like
What?
once we left MTV, the show that took our time slot was actually Jersey Shore.
That
End of an era.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the fucking end for MTV too.
I dude, you can mark it. Like, it's like we were right there. We were the last ones, man.
It's a real bummer. But before we get out of here, I got a question because I got a theory about
Yeah.
someone in Jackass, and I want to
Okay.
know thoughts on it.
Yeah.
So I think Chris Pontius is a genius because he never gets hurt because he's so willing to take his dick out that
Oh
he only
yeah.
does dick bits, and so he doesn't have to do any pain.
No, he definitely found his space. He is a genius because, and that he, Chris is like around because he comes up with funny, creative skits that he can only do. Like it,
The
that's a
Godzilla.
Pontius skit. Oh,
Right.
dude. I mean, how amazing is that? Like, dick
Bro.
stuff is just funny as hell. Like, dick
So,
fart poop.
always funny. I took my
Yeah.
wife to go see that Jackass in the theaters, right? We were
Dude,
having,
the
like,
most recent one is like only dicks.
it's a lot of dicks. And here's the thing. So,
Yeah.
we left, right? We leave, and I go, "Was it everything you remember?" And she looks at me and goes, "I've never seen Jackass before." And I was like, "Oh, I should have warned you." Sorry.
No, so dude, Pontius is like, he's like a savant when it comes to that stuff, because like he's like unknowingly a genius, you know, like he's very like affable and like, you know, just a lovable guy, funny, just hanging out and a bro. And it's like almost like, you know, those people that are just really funny and they're not even trying to be, but like he has a little bit of trying to be because like he comes up with skits, but it's like he doesn't, it's like he almost doesn't realize how gold they are. You know, he's
Well,
just naturally, that's him.
the bit of him when they did that thing in the last movie where it's like a dark room, right? And they're doing all these different
Yeah.
shit to people, but he's just standing there dancing like fucking, Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. It's like, you fucking genius. You put yourself in
Dude.
this so you don't have to be fucked with.
He's so like you're not lying. Like, and dude, like I've done a few barbecues with him. Like we've been at bars and like hung out, like very natural settings. And Pontius is Pontius no matter what. Like there's no on off. Like that's Pontius. Like he's such a funny dude, man. His lady's really cool too. He's got this cool kid now, and like he's being a really cool dad. Like
Oh, I love his
great.
Instagram. Him and his
Yeah.
daughter doing like at a park, and I'm like, that's the guy
Yeah.
who,
Yeah.
fucking put his dick through whatever.
Yeah.
It's the guy
Yeah.
who's done all those tricks.
Dude.
With his adorable daughter being a dad. Fucking life's weird.
Hilarious.
So wholesome.
Yeah, life is weird. And it
Yeah.
marches on, man. It just keeps marching on.
Yeah, dude. But I appreciate you doing this. This was
Yes, it
a
does.
real thrill for me. I
Yeah,
appreciate
no, dude.
it.
I'd love to fucking hang out sometimes. I appreciate the swag you sent me. No joke, the hat is the only thing that I still got left, and it hangs on Travis's workbench. So the outlaw shit hat. So that one, no matter, like no joke. It's since you gave it to me, I hung it up on Travis's workbench next to all the helmets, and it's sat there. Since you gave it to me, and it's there today.
Sick.
So, if you ever see it in the background, like pay attention to the workbench, and like if you get a good pan, you'll be able to see it because it has not moved. That hat has sat there the whole time. So I appreciate you guys taking the time and giving a shit and everything that you guys do, because there's not enough creativity in the world. You know, and you guys are really bringing it with that kind of that vibe that I like, you know. Man, you know, motorcycles, chicks, there's not enough of it.
No, there's we're doing more. There's
Yeah.
more coming
Yeah.
about, man.
And thank
But
I
yeah,
love it.
thank you. I
Yeah.
appreciate
And it,
that.
anytime you guys want to revisit, let me know. I'm down to come back.
All
Oh yeah,
right, we'd love
and
that.
next time I'm in because I go to DC. My mom still lives in DC.
Dude, come by. Like
I will.
I'll show you the hat in person.
I'll definitely
Love
come by.
that.
That would be sick. I'll be back there at some point in the next year for sure.
Open invite for both of you.
Fuck yeah, dude. I
Awesome.
appreciate it. Thank you for doing
Yeah.
this.
No doubt,
Great.
guys. I appreciate the time.
Hang on.